Yes, they are, very much so.
Well, here, see if this one works this week. Check two, check, check.
Yes.
That work?
Yes.
Is that better?
Yeah, sounds a lot better.
My name is Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And together we are the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. Tonight's topic is Bigfoot. Have you seen him? He does exist in the Cincinnati area, or at least that's what we're going to be told. Right here in Hamilton County, there's a Sasquatch roaming around, looking for things to eat. I'll tell you, if I was that Sasquatch, I'd be hanging out downtown, maybe by that steak place, the Longhorn Steak Place, or maybe by the Masonette. They probably got the best stuff down there. But I guess this Bigfoot, he's hanging out in the woods, and he's going to come visit us tonight. George Clappison and Jody Cooker here, and we're going to get into the meat of Bigfoot right after the monkeys. Okay, Rob's in here calling me names.
You moron, why don't you try 33?
Look out, here comes tomorrow, that's when I'll have to choose how I wish I could borrow someone else's shoes.
Davey's so cute. Look out, here comes tomorrow, the monkeys. My name is Chris.
And I'm Rob.
Together we are the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, also known as the Chris and Rob Sunshine Power Hour. Even though we're here for 2 hours, that gives us just as much time to have a good time.
We're here with George Clappison and Jody Cook of the Ohio Bigfoot Research and Study Group. Welcome to the show, gentlemen.
How you doing?
We're okay. First of all, what in the world is the Ohio Bigfoot Research and Study Group?
Well, it was an
Jody, why don't you handle that one?
All right. It was an organization we started about 5 years ago. We were part of a group here in Cincinnati called ASK, and we did mostly UFO investigations. And throughout the years, we were getting a lot more Bigfoot sightings and information coming in, so we decided, well, we got just as much Bigfoot stuff coming in as the UFO stuff, so we decided, well, we're just going to go ahead and break off and do the Bigfoot stuff for a while. But that's how it came about. And through the last couple of years, we got a whole lot of information. We put a really good book out called Bigfoot in Ohio, Encounters with the Grassman. It's really exciting.
And we'll let you give out the phone number where you can pick up a copy of that book. So a little later in the show, so people have time to go get a pen and paper. I think most people think of Bigfoot, or the Big Hairy Man, or BHM as we call him, as being in the Great Northwest with Chris Cornell and the guys from Soundgarden, all the grunge flannel guys. What in the world are you doing studying Bigfoot here in the lowly Midwest region?
Well, history goes back. The very first recorded sighting of a Bigfoot was by Leif Erikson, and actually was on the eastern side of the North America. And that was back in the, 1400s. And that was the first recording sign. But see, everybody thinks Bigfoot's in like the Pacific Northwest. And let me get back here. In the Pacific Northwest, but we have document proof, you know, Bigfoot existed, you know, on the eastern side of the country longer, if not the same amount of time, than in the Pacific Northwest. Now, here in the Ohio Valley, the oldest documented recording document is from 1832. And it's a in a book called A Buckeye Boyhood. And it talks about this young man that came from Indiana to Cincinnati and up the old Lebanon Pike to Lebanon. And it talks about this large, hairy, man-like creature that the Indians and the old old-timers called the Bojess Man. And in the book, it gives a description of what it looks like. They said it looks something similar to a gorilla and Sinbad's Old Man of the Mountain. So that's really like the first hardcore document proof, because the book was printed in 1877, and the second most recent sighting was what, from 1869?
Well, I've researched some sightings going way back into the time before the newspapers were printed in Ohio, when the settlers were first coming in, and most of eastern, or I should say western Ohio, was a swamp. The Indians in the area had many legends of large hair-covered ape-like creatures that roamed the woods, and after the settlers moved in and started publishing, you know, local papers in the small settlements, we started seeing accounts in the various newspapers, and these accounts has remained constant for, you know, hundreds, if not even thousands of years throughout this very area, from Alaska all the way over to Greenland, all the way down towards South America. Some real interesting parallels is that, for instance, some of the natives living in Northeast Asia have a word in their language known as tornin, and this describes an ancient tribe that lived up in the mountains that they revered. And the Eskimos, the Inuit Eskimos that live in Alaska, have a word in their language called tornate. And that's a word used by their shamans to describe the spirits that ruled a different object in the woods, you know, rocks and mountains and trees. And it's just real interesting how this legends precipitate through the different cultures. And I'm sure a lot of people out there that study this type of thing has heard of the Algonquin Wendigo or Wittico phenomena, where they feel like that people turn into these beasts and become cannibals. And the different tribes, the Iroquois, the Mi'kmaq, the Dog Rib, the Mahoney, they all have legends of these types of creatures.
Almost like a werewolf kind of thing, huh?
Well, it's not quite that vicious. Some of this stuff is like what they would tease their kids with at night, kind of like we would use the boogeyman, you know, he'll get you, stay by camp, don't go out.
Campfire stories, you're saying.
Well, some of it, yeah.
The Cherokee Indian has a lot of mask where it represents you know, different animals like the bear or the wolf, and they have one that they call the boogeyman, and it looks between like an ape and a man, you know. It's really odd looking mask, and no one really knows too much history about it except that it's called the boogeyman. But the Delaware Indian that was here in Ohio would put a would put these like pillars out so far out around their the villages, so if they knew they were going out so far, they would know, they would see these pillars, and the pillar basically had a carving of the face of the wild man of the woods, so they knew if they were going past this pillar, they know they were going into its territory. And this was here in Ohio, so we actually have you know, one of the partial of one of the pillars.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We're here with the Ohio Bigfoot Research and Study Group, George Clappison and Jody Cook. We're going to go to the phones now with Don Vollmer. Don Vollmer is a taxidermist out of Cheviot, and he thinks he saw Bigfoot in Pike County. Hello, Don.
How you doing tonight?
I'm okay. Now, what were you doing in Pike County in 1996?
I was deer hunting.
And what happened when you encountered this Sasquatch, or what was it?
Well, I shot at a deer, and I didn't know if I hit it or not. And about a half hour later, I heard this pack of dogs just going berserk, just barking their heads off. And I thought maybe the deer would be coming back around, and I looked, and about 80 yards away, there he was, making his way through the woods.
Now, what did he look like?
He was about 9-10 foot tall, long, curly, brown, matted hair, running on 2 feet, you know, and...
Now, you sure it wasn't wavy gravy?
No, it was long, curly, biggest thing I've ever seen in the woods.
And what did you do? Did you chase it, or did you split?
I just sat there and looked at it. You know, I was dazed just by the sight of it.
Did he see you?
I couldn't tell you, because his back was to me. He was going away from me.
Now, how do you know that he wasn't some kind of like woods person, some kind of, you know, what was that guy that used to hang out with the Gentle Ben, the bear?
Dan Haggerty.
Like Dan Haggerty, like Grizzly Adams. Some homeless guy that went out in the woods and just got lost.
Well, if it was that the case, I was up in a tree. And we were about even in height. So this guy had to be on stilts if it was a man.
Okay. And then what happened? He walked away and that was the end of that?
Well, like I said, he was about 80 yards away making his way through. And I was dazed. And then when I finally got down, I went up to the campers and I asked my friends if they heard the dogs barking. And they asked me, like, yeah, what were they barking at? And of course, you know, after I told them I thought I saw Bigfoot, it was nothing but a joke. But I know what I saw, and it wasn't no bear running away, and it wasn't no deer.
Don, you're a taxidermist by trade, is that true?
That's right.
What's a taxidermist do?
Preserve the skin of an animal to mount it.
Did you have any thoughts of killing this Bigfoot and mounting his skin?
No, never did.
Why not?
Well, because I don't think it would be right to kill it. He's never hurt anybody. You know, if he attacked me, I'd try and do something, but, you know, just to let it go, as far as I'm concerned.
That leads me to another question I want to get to with George and Jody. How many Bigfoot are there, do you think? Maybe just in the Ohio Valley or in the world? And if you see one, what should you do? Should you kill it? Should you try to grab the jaw? I've heard that if you do see one, that you should kill it, and the jaw, if anything, is what you should bring back to prove that you killed one.
Well, as far as how many Bigfoots might be in the state of Ohio, any number that would come out would be pure speculation. I would say there would have to be enough around in Ohio to make a viable breeding population. You're not going to have one or two and have the population continue. I'm sorry, what was the second part of that question?
What should you do if you see one? Should you kill it? Obviously, you want to get a photograph of the damn thing. But if you can't get a photograph, should you kill it and bring it back to show everybody you got this fine specimen? Or what should you do?
Okay, I think Don Bulmer could probably speak to this, but unless you had a really big refrigerator at home, you'd be really hard-pressed to find a place to put, you know, what, 1,000 pounds of meat? Because you got less than 24 hours to deal with it. In that 24 hours, you have to, you know, preserve it somehow, whether it be frozen or, you know, start the process of skinning it. You have to be able to prepare it. And if you don't have a way, before you get it to a scientific institution, it will be spoiled and no good.
Well, a guy here like Don, who's a taxidermist by trade, would probably know what to do more than you and I would.
I would say he probably would.
Right, but I, like I said, I don't think I'd want to kill it, because just think if you did kill it. Everybody's going to be on your case. You killed the damn thing? Why, you know, couldn't you just get a picture of it? I want to kill it.
In my opinion, I would say this would probably be one of the most endangered species in the state of Ohio. I don't think killing them would be, you know, they don't bother people. I believe they live pretty close by to humans most of the time, but...
If they live so close by to humans, and if there are enough to maintain a population, then why haven't we've seen them sooner? Why aren't there more of them in the public eye?
Give you an example. In 1990, the Ohio Division of Wildlife declared 15 counties with black bear. Okay? As of 4 months ago, it's 35 counties in the state of Ohio that's got black bear. And they said the chance of you seeing one of them is slim to nothing. unless you're in living in an area where the black bear is known to be. It's the same thing in Pacific Northwest. People sit there and say, well, you know, they when you think of Bigfoot, you think of California, Oregon, Washington State, British Columbia, and you know, they don't even see them as much, you know, out there. So the possibility, you know, this thing is probably very shy and does not want to, you know, make any type of human contact whatsoever. If it did, it would walk down in, you know, town square and say, you know, here I am. You know, it's the same thing. I mean, if you're living in a, you know, in an area, you know, and everything around you is hostile, you know, and you know everything around you is going to be hostile towards you, you're not just going to go out and say, you know, here I am, let me try and make peace with you. I just don't see that happening.
Don, do you think you'll ever see Bigfoot again?
I hope to.
Have you been out looking?
No, but I tell you what, hunting season starts Saturday, and I'm going to keep my eyes open a little bit harder.
How come you didn't follow him when you did see him that one time?
I was dazed. Honestly, I sat there and I was in a daze, like, thinking to myself, did I see it? I had seen it, you know? And if I had gotten down and tried to go the 80 yards through the woods, I don't know if I would ever found the exact spot he was in.
Mm-hmm.
But he was making his way through, just pushing trees away, trying to get out of that area.
Okay, Don, thanks for calling into the program.
All right.
Take it easy.
All right.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We're joined tonight by the Ohio Bigfoot Research and Study Group, George Clappison and Jody Cook. If you'd like to get in on this, if you've seen a Bigfoot, or if you don't believe in Bigfoot and you want to attempt to debunk the science that's going down here, 749-1444. Especially, we want to hear from people who think they've seen the monster. Is it a monster, or is it a gentle creature of the woods?
Well, no one really knows. I mean, you know, a lot of people sit there and think, well, it's, you know, he's a primate. You know, for all we know, he could be, you know, some type of a North American, you know, monkey. You know, that's not never been discovered yet. You know, he's probably an animal that has been here just like the bear, just like the deer. He's just a breed of his own. I don't personally think, like the majority of all your main biologists, people like Grover Krantz, Peter Burns, and
Dick Hertz.
Yeah, him too. That believes that the Bigfoot is an evolved Gigantopithecus blackie, which I don't think there's probably too much to that. Gigantopithecus blackie is an extinct Asian gorilla that probably stood about 10 to 11 feet and was not what they think probably walked upright. It didn't walk on its knuckles, you know, like your regular silverback.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, 749-1444. Back in a moment.
A strange thing happened the other night. You won't believe it, but I swear it's true. Harry the hairy ape made his escape from the city zoo. And under cover of a darkness, he made his way to the middle of a municipal park. And hid in the bushes and waited for somebody to come walking along by himself in the dark. Then along comes somebody not suspecting nothing. Had jumped out the bushes all of a sudden. Beat on his chest. Jump up and down, and he say, which is the hairy ape talk for, boo, I bet you I scared you, ha-ha. Ah, scared that poke cat so bad his eyes bugged out, his hair turned white, and he run off to the municipal park, screaming and hollering, tearing down the shrubbery, digging up the lawn, knocked down to keep off the grass sign, run through the hurricane fence, and fell in a municipal swimming pool and drowned himself. Oh, oh. Well, Harry thought this were the funniest thing that he had ever seen. And he laughed, jumped back in the bushes, got ready to do it again. The next guy that come along was a nearsighted local DJ. Just bopping down the sidewalk on his way to work with a box of records under his arm that he was gonna play. So here he come, not suspecting nothing. Had jumped out the bushes all of a sudden, beat on his chest. Jump up and down and he say, Which is Harry Ape talk for? Boo, I bet you I scared you, ha ha. Man, that radio announcer didn't even bat an eye. He was so nearsighted he thought Harry was a rock and roll singer. So he give him the old glad hand, slap him on the back, smile and say, don't worry, man, I'm gonna play the record. Then he say bye, bopped on off down the sidewalk. Every 4 or 5 steps he stopped and do a little mashed potatoes. Harry just stood there watching until he got out of sight. Man, he didn't know what to think. I mean, it really shook him up, and he run back to his cage as fast as he could go and jump up on his little swing, put both hands over his eyes and didn't look for 3 hours and 45 minutes. But that's not the end of our story. No, here's what happened. Well, the DJ played Harry's record.
What record?
Shut up, it was a hit and he became a star. He got him some tight britches, got him a manager, went on a promotion tour, combed his hair back and took up playing the guitar. And every Sunday afternoon you can go and see Harry at the zoo. And the girls will scream and he'll sit on his swing and pick and sing his hit record for you.
The Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show with Ray Stevens. I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
We are the Chris and Rob Sunshine Power Hour.
When you build a campfire, be sure to pick a spot clear of overhanging branches, dry grass, or leaves. Keep the campfire small and surrounded with rocks. Then before you leave, be sure the fire is completely out. Drown it with water. Stir it with a shovel and then drown it again. Remember the words of Smokey Bigfoot. Only you can prevent forest fires. If you have questions about disposing of cleaning products down the drain, call the Metropolitan Sewer District at 244-5500. I can tell you're a real pro, Chris, because you just glance right over the airs instead of calling attention to them, which is what amateurs do.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks for pointing that out, Rob. We're joined tonight, in case you just tuned in, with the Ohio Bigfoot Research and Study Group, George Clappison and Jody Cook. These guys are Bigfoot investigators. They're out there in the woods and the trenches searching for Sasquatch, the Yeti, and maybe even the Momo if they ever get out to Missouri. That's the Missouri monster, the Momo, of course. And I want to ask you guys a question. By the way, if you want to call in, the number is 749-1444. If there is such a thing as Bigfoot, and if this guy's nocturnal and shy and that's why we can't catch him, that's fine. But it seems to me that these guys got to die eventually. Where do they go to die and what happens to their bones?
Well, that's a good question. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows. I mean, people think that, you know, either they're cannibals or they bury their dead. According to I can't think of their names offhand, but in the Sherpas. Yeah, the Sherpas believe, and they're from Nepal. They believe that the abominable snowman, what they do, they take the remains of their dead and they throw them in between the glaciers, and the glaciers basically grind the bodies. You know, but here the in the Pacific Northwest, I know a lot of the Indian tribes believe that they're cannibals and they eat their dead, but no one actually knows. It's like Grover Krantz made a really good point when he was talking about bear remains. No one has really ever found the remains of a bear. And this came out through the U.S. Forestry Service. The Ohio Division of Wildlife, we contacted them about this, and no one has ever found a bear that died from natural causes. So, you know, no one really knows.
A lot of times a sick animal will go crawl into a place where it can die, like a cat will crawl up under your house and different things like that. And even the big game hunters from out in the Pacific Northwest and even in the Southwest, they don't really expect and actually do not find very many dead animals. And even the people from Ohio, you guys think about it, how many dead deer have you seen that hadn't been shot or hit by a car? Except for man killing some deer, the deer that die go off and die by themselves and usually aren't ever found.
I heard a theory that in the Great Northwest, in the Rocky Mountains, these Sasquatches will go up in the mountains and the ground is so acidic that it'll just disintegrate the bones in a matter of minutes.
Well, it doesn't take acidic ground. I mean, you have enough parasites and bacteria just normally present in the soil that it breaks mm-hmm. down bone and flesh pretty quickly.
There was an individual came to George and I about 2 years ago that says he worked for the federal government. And he talked about there was a document that was out, and basically it was what it said, that during the 1950s, the Civil Division and the Air Force, the Army Corps of Engineers, the Army, decided if there was ever a nuclear war, how could we be able to get our people into a safe area? So what they did, they went to explore caves, and you know, see if one side of the country, you can get through one side of the country to the other side of the country. And he spoke that when they were in the caves going to this expedition, they were, 2 months or a month or something with it going down. They spent that time in there, and they found these remains of large skeletons of a very large creature, which was, you know, man-like, but, you know, similar to an ape. And they found some that was perfectly preserved in the sulfur. You know, we haven't got confirmed on that report yet. We're still trying to get some more information about that. But, you know, that's one theory, that, you know, they may bury their dead, you know, and down in, you know, far, far caverns.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, joined by the Ohio Bigfoot Research and Study Group, George and Jody. We're joined now on the telephone with Marcy Price, who's calling us from near Okeana, Ohio, or at least that's where she saw Bigfoot. Hello, Marcy.
Hello.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good.
You saw Bigfoot in 1995 in Butler County?
Yeah, there's a Butler County Park out there. It's called Governor Bibb.
Mm-hmm.
It's Cincinnati Brookville Road. I believe that's State Route 126. It's actually about 2 miles from Indiana border. And it was Father's Day weekend of 95. It was on a Saturday, which would have been June 17th. And we had gone camping out there, my husband and my two sons. And we were in the campsite, and then there was a creek. And on the other side of the creek, way past the creek on the other side, there was a bunch of people playing paintball. And there were no other campers on our side of the creek or anything. And my husband and sons decided to go for a hike, and I stayed at the campsite. And I was sitting on a picnic table, and I looked down in the creek, and there was a very large boulder on the creek, in the creek, and on top of the boulder was what appeared to be a Bigfoot that was like sitting down in a squatted type position.
What was he doing?
Sitting there looking at me.
Just chilling, huh?
But yeah, the only thing I can think of is he had maybe have been on the other side where the people were playing paintball and was trying to hide. And since I was the only one on that side of the creek and that side of the park at the time, he may have come in that direction for that reason. And he basically, he or she, whatever, basically sat on this rock and just kept looking at me. And it like the other gentleman said, it is pretty amazing. You just kind of, it kind of puts you in a daze because you don't expect to see something like this. And I wasn't afraid. I was a little apprehensive, so I tried not to break eye contact because I didn't know if I turned my back what would happen, and I was there alone. And this went on for approximately about 10 minutes. And then
you're saying you and Bigfoot just sort of sat there looking at each other and did nothing for 10 minutes?
No, I was pretty much frozen. I went around the picnic table and slowly got in the cooler and got some cheese and sat it like on the end of the picnic table in case if it was hungry, I could throw the cheese at it and run and get in the car.
Maybe Bigfoot likes cheese.
Well, I don't know. It's the only thing I had just in case, you know, because I could throw it, it could go for that, and I could jump in the car. But anyway, nothing happened. It just sat there. And then I heard, it was starting to get dark, and I heard my husband and kids coming from the other end of the park, and I turned around to tell them to come here real quick. And when I turned back around, it had already gone.
Did your 9-year-old son see it as well?
He said something about seeing a monkey.
Hmm. What did this Bigfoot look to you? Did he look like a wayward bum, or did he look like a monkey to you?
It did not look human. And it didn't look like somebody's pet monkey that escaped.
He was big, wasn't he? How big was he?
I was sitting on a picnic table, elevated above the creek, and he was approximately, I'm guessing, about 40 or 50 feet away from me, And with the squat up position, I'm guessing about 3.5 to 4 foot tall, because it was not standing. And it had dark hair, and it had, you know how cat's eyes get, sometimes hazel eyes will turn like a green color? It had those kind of eyes. It was very, piercing, but it was non-threatening. It did not try to intimidate or scare or come in my direction at all. It looked like it was just trying to escape and just rest for a minute.
What do you think it was running from?
Probably all the noise from the people playing paintball on the other side of the creek.
Now, let me ask you something, George and Jody from the Bigfoot Research Group. If people are out in the woods camping and playing paintball and doing all the other things that go on in the woods, I mean, there's not a whole lot of places you can go and really be secluded from mankind, at least in this part of the world. How is this Bigfoot not getting detected?
Well, that's just it. It is getting detected. People are seeing this thing all across the state in all sorts of situations, from people driving down the highway to their subdivisions. They see them in campgrounds. They see them out in the wilderness. And just like the first caller, Don, he said he came back to camp and talked to some of his buddies, and they all laughed at him. I tell you, I work in the engineering field, and I deal with contract houses, and my resume gets sent here and there, and I get phone calls back on different employment opportunities. And I get a call one day out of the blue out of one of these guys who I'd interviewed with like a couple months back. And he tells me that he's got 4 or 5 buddies that go out in the South Central Ohio hunting once a year. It's a big week-long, you know, camping and hunting party. And one of his buddies was out there and had seen this thing, and he come back to camp, and you know, of course, everybody had a good laugh at the thing. But years later, like 10 years later, this guy's buddy still sticks to his story. His friend refused to talk to me about it because he didn't want to be, you know, held up to ridicule. And the guy who actually did the talking to me, you know, he said, hey, don't expose my company, don't expose my name. And I get more of those types of reports than I do, you know, people that want to come out and make a name for themselves or make a buck or something. Most people just want to tell me about it because they feel like it needs to be reported.
Is the Bigfoot Research and Study Group right here in Cincinnati, and you guys are based out of Franklin, is this the place to go, or should people call the police or the park ranger?
Well, if you call the authorities, probably the first thing that will happen is you'll get hassled. My main...
Do you want to give your phone number out here?
Sure. 743-3699 if you want to give me a call and report a sighting.
That's area code 513-743-3699.
Anybody that wants to hassle me, I got call back on my phone, so I'll hassle you back.
Don't worry about that.
But one thing we get in contact with... quite a few rangers from the Ohio Division of Wildlife that has came and told us that, you know, they have seen it, okay? And one in particular was a sighting that took place up at Salt Fork Lake, State Park, rather.
Are you talking about the park in Batavia?
No, this one's...
That's East Fork.
No, this is, it's called Salt Fork Lake. It's, I believe, about an hour south of Shoshocking County. So it's real close to the Virginia border. But it's probably about 3 hours from Cincinnati area. But anyhow, they had 18 sightings within a 30-day period, and these all took place during the day. What the sightings were two, what they believe were males, that were coming into the camp areas, and the Ohio Division of Wildlife ended up closing down this particular area. And this is information that we're getting from rangers. These guys were doing this job for, you know, 15, 20 years, so we feel they had no reason to sit there and lie to us. They did mention that they were told, and there was a memo that was put out that, you know, if any rangers to see these, you know, see these animals in Ohio, they're supposed to report it to a certain part of the Ohio Division of Wildlife, and you know, basically they were told, you know, if you guys go out and you tell people, you know, this thing's existing in Ohio, you know, till we figure out, you know, how we're going to handle this situation, you know, you're going to get fired. You'll never get another state job.
It'd be great, wouldn't people flock to Ohio to try to see the big hairy man?
Well, here's the thing, you know, George and I, our biggest goal is, you know, we would like to be sponsored, you know, and spend 1 year. If someone would put up the front money for us to spend 365 days doing nothing but Bigfoot, okay, if we cannot, within 1 year, find some type of evident proof that he existed besides the information which we got now, you know.
Well, you guys have a recording we're going to play in a little bit of the sound Bigfoot makes in the woods. Is that correct?
Right.
The sound it makes in Ohio.
This is strictly Ohio, these sounds here.
But we'll get to that in a minute. Well, I would think if Synergy has millions of dollars to put their name on Riverfront Stadium, they should be able to give you guys like $1 million, let you spend 1998 looking for Bigfoot.
Well, I would think that with the prestige that would come with discovering Bigfoot and having it included on the endangered species list, I would think the state of Ohio would reap many benefits from it.
They'd have to call it Bigfoot, brought to you by Synergy.
Actually, the Ohio name has been Grassman for a few years now, and that comes from a report out of the Akron area.
That sounds like a biker.
he might have been at one time, but
ask your ass for gas. Man.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, joined by the Ohio Bigfoot Research and Study Group, George Clappison and Jody Cook. If you have a Bigfoot sighting you'd like to report, you can call these guys at 513-743-369, or even better yet, call us right here at the mighty WAIF, Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show at 749-1444. We're taking your calls, and we will be until about 2 o'clock in the morning. We're joined now by a real celebrity, a real debutante of the outdoors, and that's Chip Hart from the Big Outdoors, heard on 700 WLW on Saturday morning at 5:30, now heard right here live on the Chris and Rob Show. Hello, Chip.
Hey, Chris. Hey, Rob. How you guys doing?
Fabulous, Chip. What's up with you?
Oh, God. Well, I'm awake. That's a pretty good, good start for me.
Chip, you host a hunting and fishing show. You go hunting a lot. You go fishing a lot. Have you ever seen a Bigfoot?
I have not seen a Bigfoot yet. Obviously heard a lot of wild things out there in the woods, but I've not seen a Bigfoot yet. Of course, we're down in Adams County, you know, and I'd say some of the neighbors might resemble a Bigfoot.
Now, I believe you told me that you wanted to talk tonight about another creature from the cryptozoology anthology, and that would be not Bigfoot, but the South Bay Bessie.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, they have a Loch Ness Monster in the South Bay of Lake Erie, but instead of calling it the Loch Ness Monster, which is in Scotland, of course, it's in the Lake Erie, they call it South Bay Bessie. You tell me you've seen this thing?
Well, I'm not sure if I saw South Bay Bessie because I'm not sure what it, you know, actually resembles, but we get up to Lake Erie a couple times a year, and we happen to see something early one morning and appeared to be kind of snake-like. Now, does this resemble your South Bay Bessie? I mean, is that what you're hearing?
Do you guys from the Bigfoot Society, do you study other creatures besides the Bigfoot? I know that the field is called cryptozoology, the study of creatures that haven't been discovered yet.
Actually, the story that Chip's telling us here sounds a lot like the Native American legend of the giant sturgeon that would come up and take Indians on canoes under.
But are you sure that's not just some Indian legend, a campfire story for the kids?
Hey, I have to tell you, I've never seen a sturgeon in real life, but I've seen plenty of pictures of them, and quite frankly, this didn't resemble a sturgeon. I do understand that they will come up and roll on the water, but this sucker didn't roll. We caught sight of him at probably somewhere between 300 and 400 yards.
How big was he?
At that distance, I would have to say he was probably 12 to 15 feet long.
Now,
just based on my knowledge of what big game looks like at a pretty good distance.
Is there a creature that lives in Lake Erie, like a big sea serpent or a fish or something, that could be that size?
Well, you know, Lake Erie's got, shovel heads. I mean, that's been pulled out of there, you know, up to 16 feet, you know, and that's a pretty big size. But here in the United States, you know, we've got Champ, okay, which is in Lake Champlain, which is in Upper New York State. Then, you know, when you go farther to the west, you know, you got Ogopogo, and you have, you know, Caddy. And those are two lake monsters that's up in British Columbia, Canada. But if you sit there and you take a map and you look at the parallels for where these lakes are, all the way going over to Loch Ness and all the way going over to Ishii, which is in Japan, the lake monster over there, they all fall within the same parallel. So, and that's what's so unique about it. And a lot of the cryptozoologists believe that maybe that they're underground caverns that go from, you know, Asia to North America, where these things go through these caverns, and Ogopogo is Loch Ness monster, you know, that they came over here, or vice versa. So that you know, that's a one good possibility. But there's a lot of lakes throughout the world that, you know, people have seen these things.
Isn't the one in Loch Ness, Scotland, supposed to be a plesiosaurus or something like that, a ancient dinosaur water creature?
Right. Champ is actually is what they believe that is now.
A plesiosaur.
A plesiosaur, but Caddy, they call him a Caddyosaurus or Chubbyosaurus. I can't think of
my member.
Right, but the name's kind of real funny there. But they actually they found the remains of one in the early 1900s that the fishermen pulled out of a stomach of a whale, and this thing had a head like a horse, a real long snake body, had two upper flippers, and the back tail came to two flippers, you know, which was a really odd looking creature, and the sightings ever since has always been the same as this creature. So Caddy is the only one that's been a different looking than any other lake monsters, you know, around the world.
Well, this one appeared to be serpent-like, you know, somewhere around 12 to 15 feet long. It swam like a snake, you know, with the ripples of the body and going across the top of the water. And the water was perfectly calm otherwise. We watched it for about 5 minutes. It was kind of moving parallel to us. And at that point, we decided, oh, hell, we'll just kind of pull lines and make a run over there. So we did that. We got about halfway, and it went down. And then obviously the ripples disappeared, and that was it.
We aren't sure
exactly what we saw, but there have been other charter captains on the lake that have reported things, you know, somewhere along those lines.
Well, Chip Hart, you're a professional outdoorsman. If you pulled a plesiosaur out of Lake Erie on one of those big fishing tournaments, what do you think the purse would be?
Close to at least T-Rex, right?
You think you'd get on the cover of Bass Fisherman or something?
Being auctioned at Sotheby's next week or something like that. You know, somewhere around $1 million.
All right, thanks for your call, Chip.
Hey, Chris, Rob, take care.
You too. Chip Hart from the Big Outdoors. Heard locally at 5:30 in the morning on the AM band. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. If you'd like to get in on this, 749-1444 is the phone number. We're taking the calls if you've seen a Bigfoot or a Lake Erie monster or anything else that's different. Give us a call.
And be sure to keep your radio tuned to WAIF this Saturday, October 4th, announcing for the first time ever on radio, live from Found Squares, the 8th Hemp Rally. You can attend the rally noon to 6 or catch it on 88.3 WAIF FM live from the rally noon to 3 and look for info about the cool party happening after the rally. This is Chris and Rob on WAIF. We're with George and Jody from the Ohio Bigfoot Research and Study Group. And I have a question.
What's that, Rob?
When we talk about the big hairy man or grass man or Bigfoot or Sasquatch,
Yeti,
what kind of evidence are we looking at? Tonight, all we've discussed are sightings that some people in the area have seen out of Governor Bebb. What are some of the other types of evidence? Have you ever found Bigfoot turds?
Well, that's a good question.
I mean, you haven't found a Bigfoot, but we've never found a black bear either, you say. So, I mean, a dead one, it died of a heart attack or something.
Actually, it might have been a turd before I found it, but after I found it, I called it scat.
Ah.
Yeah.
So we call it scat, feces of scat?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever found any Bigfoot scat?
We had collected some in hopes of getting it analyzed, and people that analyze turds are kind of hard to come by. So I ended up contacting a hunter friend of mine who knew a bit about what the local animals eat, and he kind of went through it a little bit, and there wasn't a whole lot you could tell to it. It needed some sort of microscopic or chemical analysis that was beyond my capability.
Is there a way to tell the difference between like a bear turd and a deer turd and a turtle turd and a frog turd and a Bigfoot turd?
Well, most of the time these things are differentiated by the type of foods that are eaten by the animal. Certain animals eat particular types of food almost all the time.
What do you think Bigfoot eats? If we're studying this creature and trying to track him, is there any way of telling what he's been eating while he's running around the woods?
It really depends. Throughout the whole United States, different sightings, you know, of Bigfoot of eating something. Some people say, he eats strawberry and vegetables and so forth. And then some say, well, he eats small rodents and he eats deer. We have a section in our book called Bigfoot and Ohio Deer Kills, where a large amount of deers in Ohio were found with just their liver removed from the body.
So he's a gourmet. Bigfoot may be a gourmet.
Well, could be, but
I think he's an opportunist. I think as long as the crops are growing in the fields, some soybeans or corn is an easy meal. Probably through the winter, he looks more at rodents or fish.
Is he a scavenger? Do you think he eats garbage that people leave behind on campouts and so forth?
I have direct testimony from actually people within the city limits who've chased Bigfoot away from their garbage
can. The city limits, there's a Bigfoot in downtown?
I wouldn't say downtown, but...
Maybe Norwood or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, we had... one sighting took place here in Cincinnati. And back in 1959, if I can find it here in my book, basically what happened was there was an individual that was going down, I'm not sure what route it was offhand, but basically what happened, he seen this large hairy creature come out of the road, come out of the river, and coming from the Kentucky side, and it was reported to the Cincinnati police. We had another reporting, 3 years ago on Route 50, where a individual was going down fishing and ran across one, on the banks of the Ohio River, and we went down investigating. We found two really nice, casts that we took, from that particular area.
That brings up casts, and that's another form of evidence that you use. How can you recognize a legitimate Bigfoot footprint versus what may be a hoax versus what just may be like, Shaquille O'Neal walking through the woods or something? Well, something with a 26-inch shoe.
First of all, the shape and the size of what has become known as a Bigfoot track is no way resembles a man's. A man's foot is very narrow, the arch is very well defined, and the toes are angled back across. The Bigfoot track, although it does have toes, and it looks like it's the weight-bearing portion of the creature, that's about the end of the similarity. A Bigfoot foot is very wide, and I would say an average print would be anywhere from 15 to 20 inches long, maybe 6 to 8 or more inches wide. I would say the big toe may leave an impression the size of your fist.
Do we have any Bigfoot casts or prints that have been discovered that demonstrate deeper, what are they called, dermal ridges? The little things that make up, they're the things in your fingers and your feet that make up your fingerprint. Well, if you look at your finger, you see the little lines.
I have a problem with dermal ridges. Okay, in footprints. There was one that came out in California, which I think it was California, I believe, or Washington State, I'm sorry, where they call it the cripple foot, where the foot was kind of deformed, which was the left foot, and the right foot was perfectly shaped. And in the cast, it comes up dermal ridges. Well, you got to look at it this way. You have a creature, okay, that walks on its bare feet, okay?
obviously that this thing is not, you know, his feet is going to be so calloused, you know, so when he walks across rock or whatever, it's not going to hurt him. He's going to be more like a bear's foot or a dog's foot.
So with the calluses, the dermal ridges wouldn't even be apparent?
No, I don't believe so. And like I said, I have a real problem with dermal ridges, you know, in feet.
You guys are asking about evidence here. And I think a lot of times some of the most convincing evidence, in my opinion, goes overlooked by most of the general public. I've talked to scientists who work in the field of primates, and they've done statistical studies comparing the foot length to the height, and you come up with a ratio that can describe a species, and this ratio is consistent for any individual within a given species, and they have this ratio worked out for humans, for gorillas, for orangutans, chimps. And according to the sightings up until a couple of years ago, they've done this statistical analysis on Bigfoot reports. And they've come up with a multiplier of 5.5, which tells me that if you find a print, you measure the print, you multiply it by 5.5, and theoretically that's the height of the individual that left it. Now, what is very convincing to me is when, before going into the field, I question the witness. And they say, well, he looked like he was about 8 feet high. Then I go out into the field and I find a print. I measure the print and I run it through the math, and it works out to 8'1". Now, to me, that's pretty convincing. There's a real consistency there that goes beyond the average hoaxer's mentality.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show, joined by the Ohio Bigfoot Research and Study Group. Yep, folks, we're talking about Bigfoot tonight. George Clappison and Jody Cook are here to take your calls and to discuss with us the mystery of Bigfoot and the Sasquatch and the implication of whether or not this guy exists somewhere nearby here in Ohio, Northern Kentucky, or Indiana. And we're joined now on the telephone, 749-1444, if you'd like to call in, by Pat. Hello, Pat.
Hi.
Where are you at tonight?
I'm at home.
That which would be where? Are you in Warren County?
I have a home in Warren County, but I moved about a year ago into Butler County.
Have you ever seen Bigfoot?
Well, I saw two creatures at the back of my yard when I first moved there about 18 years ago.
You saw Bigfoot 18 years ago?
In Warren County.
Mm-hmm. Whereabouts in Warren County?
It's on Linwood Road.
Mm-hmm. Well, how urban? I've never been there. Is that an urban area, or is it more secluded in the woods?
Well, it's in a township-like, and my next-door neighbor has like a 7-acre baby farm.
So there's a place to hide if a guy had to hide.
Oh, yeah, and it had a creek and plenty of trees.
Okay, so what was Bigfoot doing, and how did you come about seeing him, and what happened?
Well, I had gotten up in the wee hours of the morning. My husband's a bread man. And I got up to make the coffee, and I was sitting at the kitchen table, and I saw this large creature walking the fence line in my neighbor's yard, and a smaller one behind it. It looked like a female of the species because it had a chest, it had plenty of hair. And the creature behind it was of the same color, dark, kind of a real dark brownish black, and it was following it about 4 foot behind it, behind the first one.
Mm-hmm.
It was wee hours of the morning, just before dawn.
And what did they do? They just hung out in your yard?
No, they were walking the fence line.
Then where did they go? Did you follow them, or did anybody see them after you did?
I wouldn't have followed them. I thought I was seeing things at first, and I went to get my husband, and when I come back, I guess they had gone on down the line because I didn't see them anymore.
How do you know they weren't just hitchhikers or hippies looking for, you know, the next free rock concert?
Well, you could tell they didn't have any clothes on, for one thing. They were all hairy.
They were hairy, so they were naked, but they were hairy, so you still couldn't, like, you know, they weren't totally naked, they were hairy.
Right. And, I don't know, about 3 weeks later, I didn't tell anybody about this except my husband, and about 3 weeks later, I either heard it on the news or read it in the free press or something where they had been spotted over in the Lebanon area.
Jody and George, your response to this Bigfoot sighting from 18 years ago?
Well, what Pat's reporting here is a very common scenario. everyone thinks when they hear of a Bigfoot report that it's the first time they ever heard of the thing. And my experience has been that when I go to an area and start to question a witness, they say, well, why don't you come over here and talk to my neighbor, or why don't we talk to my son or my daughter? And it ends up there's a whole group of people in this community who've had strange experiences and seen strange things, and they've just kind of kept it to themselves, but they never forget these experiences. And when someone like me walks into the picture and says, hey, I'm here to listen to your story, I want to hear what you've seen, sometimes it's kind of like the floodgates open and I hear from a whole lot of people in the area. And it's very convincing when you get people who are just acquaintances in your neighborhood, but yet they'll come over and tell you what they've seen, and it corresponds exactly to all the previous reports.
Pat, do you have a problem coping with this sighting? Like, some people who've been abducted by aliens or have UFO stories are afraid that they'll be made fun of by their friends or the people they work with. Are you having a problem with this?
Well, I didn't tell anybody because I was afraid of just such a thing.
You don't think you're crazy, do you?
My husband thought I was.
Yeah. But you don't. You're of sound mind, aren't you? You sound normal.
I hope so. I work every day.
Okay. Well, thanks for your call, Pat.
Uh-huh.
Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
How many Bigfoot reports are there in this area, say, in a given month or year?
This year already, we've logged probably a good 10 reports in southwestern Ohio.
Is there any continuity as to the location and where they're at? You think people are seeing the same Bigfoots?
I actually think it's pretty much a hit and miss thing. There seems to be accidental situations, or in this case with Marcy, there's some sort of activity going on that seems to disturb them.
This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We're talking about Bigfoot. We got experts. You're listening to WAIF Cincinnati, and the phone lines are open. 749-1444 is the phone number. 7491-444. I got one more question before we take a little break here, you guys. If Bigfoot has really big feet, you think he also has really big eyes?